Good evening. Welcome to Vespers. My name is Nancy Winder. I'm the pastor in the village. I know this is difficult for Lutherans and other people who come to public worship, but there are some seats in the front. Still. So if you need a seat, there are some up here and a couple over here. And yeah, there you go. Anna, Lauren, Sam, you're going to set a good example by sitting in the front. Thank you. For Vespers tonight, you should all have a copy of the cranberry-colored ELW. And also this song sheet. And it's our joy always in the summer to have this great company of musicians that come to the village all summer. And this week it's our great delight to have Mark Sadio. And he is in charge of Vespers tonight.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
From Psalm 150. Hallelujah. Praise God in the holy temple. Praise God in the mighty firmament. Praise God for mighty acts. Praise God for exceeding greatness. Praise God with trumpet sound. Praise God with lyre and with harp. Praise God with tambourine and dance. Praise God with strings and pipe. Praise God with resounding cymbals. Praise God with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's start tonight's service by singing hymn number 881. And let's stand up. Best about what's happening to now in church hymnody is global music is infiltrating almost every denominational hymnal. And if you look at our new ELW, it's chock full of different things from different countries, from different parts of the world. A few years ago, a friend and I put together a book that's called Leading the Church's Song, and here's the introduction in that book, the introduction to global music. Crossing into another's culture reminds us that we are all neighbors, and that our church is really, truly a global church. It's not unusual today to find a hymn from Tanzania, Brazil, or Taiwan in North American worship. What does it take, though, to really, truly sing another's song? How much do I personally need to understand about the performance practice of the original culture before I attempt to do it in my own local congregation? What can I know of the cultural and theological background from which a song comes? When is it time to step into the waters and try to make music from another culture? When learning another culture's music, we are not attempting to replicate a hymn's original context. In each local context, any hymn naturally takes on its own life through its contextual presentation. And that is as it should be. In order for any new hymn to become meaningful, it must become an expression of the community that sings it. By learning what we can about another cultural context, however, and by drawing connections between that context and our own, we can find entry points into a culture different from our own. I think we found a really good entry point last night. And I think it began with movement. In sharing another's culture's music, it is more than music that we share. Music of various cultures brings us a glimpse of each other's experience of God. And I think that's the best part of the whole thing, is that music of other cultures brings us another's view, another's glimpse of another experience of God. As any culture connects its experience of the holy to its music, and all cultures do, a unique context for God's presence is created. And we experience together the way that God weaves a varied and diverse tapestry of revelation among us. The church's song gives us a place to experience this sharing. So, step in, the water's fine. We're now going to sing three songs from the Treasury of World Music from different contexts. The first one comes to us from Tanzania. The story is that the St. Paul Area Synod has a sister diocese in Tanzania that a lot of people, a lot of friends that I have go to on a regular basis. And my friend Janice came back from, she's a musician, her husband's a pastor. She came back and she had these tapes of all of this music, and she goes, this stuff is so great. And everywhere we went, they sang this song called Nima Mwana Bwana. And so she said, I asked everybody, who wrote it? You know, who wrote it? And everybody said, you know, maybe God. It's been around forever, you know. So, she said to her friend Shikrani, the musician at the place where she was worshiping, she said, well, Nima Mwana Bwana, like, what does it mean? Yeah, that's a good Lutheran statement. What does it mean? And he said, it means we have seen the Lord, and he looks nice. So, I kind of think of it as, so it's kind of like an African beautiful savior, yeah? So a lot of this stuff then got codified and got into our hymnal. So this is hymn number 869, Nima Mwana Bwana, and we're going to teach it to you. So as soon as you find it, the choir alone, why don't you guys stay seated? We're going to sing it first on na 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 na. This is four part of harmony. We're only going to speak it. Don't sing yet, okay? Ni me mwana bwana.
Ni me mwana bwana.
Ni me mwana bwana.
Ni me mwana bwana.
Now this has a little bit different ending. Ni me mwana bwana anapendesa. And
ni me mwana bwana.
that we're going to learn about performance practice, because really, to make this really, really, really fun, if we stand there and sing it this way, it'll be okay. But we could do some more things that are more fun. So the first thing is that Soa Mensah, who's a Ghanaian master drummer who lives right down the street, he teaches at McAllister College from where we live in St. Paul, all different traditions he teaches, wonderful guy, and he says that in African languages, this is a huge generalization, but he said it, and he knows, in African languages, consonants are more important than vowels. So if you listen to us sing, you know, we're taught to sing on the vowels, so we sing, Ni me moana bona, I'm a Lutheran. Ni me moana bona, I went to Concordia. Ni me moana, you know, yeah, that's okay. But if you think of it like this, Ni me moana bona. And then we're also very uncomfortable with rests. And if you listen to African choirs, if it says whole note, maybe they'll sing a whole note, maybe they'll sing a quarter note, you know, like, ni me moana bona. And they kind of massage the sound with the language, yeah? So let's have the choir just kind of sing it this way, ready? 1, 2, and.
Ni me moana bona. Ni me moana bona. Ni me moana bona. Ana pesa.
That's the revelation, that's the epiphany of it. We have seen the Lord, and he looks nice.
Oh, yeah!
This old commercial, some of you are old enough to remember, these are cola nuts. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's for the uncola 7-Up, right? And that's how we're going to sing this song. So instead of neem, neem, what? Ladysmith, that Black Mombasa massages the sound like this. Everybody stand up, okay? Oh, wait, yeah. We'll go like this. Now, this is done in a call-response style. Then we can also do it in English, which is, we have seen the Lord God with us, Jesus Christ. We have to change the endings just slightly to fit all the words. Let's do it auf Englisch, bitte. Ready to go.
We have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord.
So I'll do the call and response. Now, when you do this kind of thing, too, this is not helpful. Doesn't do anything. It's like you have to sing with your body. Ni me moana. And it's just like you're tasting some wonderful ni me moana chocolate. Ni me moana. Let's try it. So if I sing in Swahili and do the call in Swahili, then you have to do it in Swahili. If I do it in English, then you have to do it in English, okay? Here we go. And you guys can play this time. Ready? Ni me moana bona.
Ni me moana
bona. Ni me moana bona.
Ni me moana bona. Ni me moana bona. Ana pesa.
Ni me moana bona.
Ni me moana bona.
Ni me moana.
Ni me moana bona.
We're going to continue in English, but I still see some people going. And you know, the whole place should, y'all should be bobbing. And I mean, I really have bad runner's knees, so when I'm doing this, you're not hearing the creaking. But if I can do it, you can do it. In English, we have seen the Lord.
We have seen the Lord.
God is mighty.
We have seen the Lord.
God is powerful.
We have seen the Lord.
The Lord.
We have seen the Lord.
He is beautiful.
We have seen the Lord.
He is mystical.
We have seen the Lord.
God with us, Jesus. one. Okay, but now, hey, for the end one, you know, so you can go back and we could do this all night and it would be really fun, but we have like about six more songs to do. So sorry about that. But at the end now, when we go, ni memwana bwana, we'll do it two more times in Swahili, and then watch me because I'll conduct you. We'll slow down at the end, and then when we get to the end, this is what we're going to do. Even really, really fun at the end there when we do that. Then if we all sit down, when we drop our voices. Two times in Swahili. Ni me mwane bwana.
Ni me mwane bwana.
Ni me mwana. Okay, that's called ululating, what we were doing over there. So my children were all a part of the St. Paul Public Schools. And in the 90s, they took out, you know, they only had so much money. And so each school had to decide between art and music. And they kept band all the time. But my kids' school decided to keep art because they had band. So music went out the window. And so a group of parents, we together hired a musicologist who came in and did special music programming for 6 weeks with the kids. And he did on different age levels. He did like the fifth graders all did music from South India. Unbelievable. The kindergartners did music from Ghana and they did cross circular rhythms on the drums. And he'd just get them started. And then these kids would be in four beats, these kids would be in three beats, and these kids would be in seven. And you're going, why can't I do that? And why can't my choir just go, people, 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 something's not right. Oh. And the third graders all did music from the United States from the time of slavery through the Civil Rights Movement, which is great. But it was at that very time, it was February 1991, and Desert Storm had begun. And Russell Packard, the musicologist, had just gotten back from a six-month stay in Jordan where he learned Arabic music. And he taught all the kids an Iraqi folk song called Fuginaha because he said, you can't hate people whose songs you know. And I think that is just a powerful thing that has stuck with me for nearly 20 years. You can't hate people whose songs you know. So when this last Iraqi war started at Central Lutheran, we, at the end of every service, we sang this Palestinian peace song that you have in front of you. So the choir is going to sing it first. And this is how the service ended, and then no post-room. Choir is going to sing it once in Arabic, and then we'll all sing it together in English. And then we'll just hum it very quietly.
Thank you.
prayer for peace. And then, I'm sure some of you have seen a YouTube video where there's a bride and groom and their entourage dancing down the aisle. That same congregation is in St. Paul, Minnesota, and they've crafted, it started out as a Swedish Lutheran congregation, and then in 1975 there was a huge influx of Vietnamese refugees, and in fact, one of my seminary college and seminary classmates married a wonderful Vietnamese woman and was the pastor there for a while. And then there was an influx of Cambodians. And the Vietnamese and Cambodians said, well, we want to sing our songs as well. So the musician there codified the liturgy into Cambodian folk songs. And I've actually absolutely fallen in love with the Lord's Prayer. I think it's absolutely beautiful. So let's sing the Cambodian Lord's Prayer. We have Megan on the violin. Writings of Garrison Keillor, and I'm sure some of you have heard this before, I've made fun of Lutherans for years. I mean, who wouldn't if you lived in Minnesota? But I also have sung with Lutherans, and that is one of the main joys of life, along with hot baths and fresh sweet corn. We make fun of Lutherans for their blandness, for their excessive calm, their fear of giving offense, their constant guilt that burns like a pilot light, their lack of speed, and also for their secret fondness for macaroni and cheese. But nobody sings like the Lutherans. I once sang the bass line of Children of the Heavenly Father in a room with about 3,000 Lutherans in it. And when we finished, we all had tears in our eyes, partly from the promise that God will not forsake us, partly from the proximity of all those lovely voices. By our joining in harmony, we somehow promise that we too will not forsake each other. I do believe this. People who love to sing in four-part harmony are the sort of people that you can call upon when you're in distress. If you're dying, Lutherans will comfort you. If you're lonely, they'll talk to you. If you're hungry, give you Jell-O. I think let's together stand up and sing hymn number 781. Listen to the first stanza in unison so it kind of blossoms out, and the next three in harmony. Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord's face shine upon us with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon us with favor and give us peace. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, Sanctifier, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.